You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? Good Friday. I don't think your mic's on, bro. Well, we got a new board up today. let's let Rusty figure this out. Mm-hmm. Jeff Rust
hey,
in the house.
Let's try it. Hey!
All right!
Hey, look, I haven't been here in like 2 months. I'm used to a show before me with two hosts and having that other mic, you know, being up there already.
It's the learning game.
Wait, yes. This one only has one host? We have two hosts.
Yeah, we got
yes,
two.
Yes, the show prior to you had one host today.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Meaning
yeah,
there was not a second mic.
Yeah, spring is gone, so it was just dirt.
Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
I get what happened.
So this mic wasn't...
I get what happened.
I don't know, potted up.
Right. Yes, but here we are. We're good.
Hey.
We're kind of good. Hey, Rusty, do you mind pulling up our drops pages?
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Thanks, babe. So Rust is in for Mike Lynch.
Oh, we love Rusty. It's a work in progress today.
Yeah, well, it's Friday.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, where you know what? There we go.
Hey, listen to this.
Where you go, I go.
Drops pages up.
We, the royal we, the editorial we.
I'll tell you something. Jeff Rust is on fire. Two for two.
If by on fire you mean that meme where the one dude sitting there going, this is fine, then yes.
Yeah. I was talking about the booth tension, and now we've got our own booth tension in here, but... I'll tell you what, we're watching the PGA here on the old Superstation.
By the way, there's no tension. I love Jeff Rust. And he's a huge meme guy.
Yeah.
He loves memes.
Rusty's great. But old Vern Lundquist is in there with old Dottie Pepper. And let me tell you, you can cut that sexual tension with a knife.
Yeah, Vern wants to do it with her.
Vern was just a staring a hole through what Dottie had going on.
God, Vern is bloated.
Well,
if I ever get like that.
How old is Vern?
He's
like mid-60s?
Oh, God, I think he's... No, I bet you... Well, I don't know. He's probably in his 70s, but...
Well, he looks worse than probably the age is going to indicate. Vern has not taken care of himself. He has not been God. Chortling his way to good health.
Vern Lundquist is 78 years old.
Yeah, 78, dude.
Holy crap.
He's up there. And he looks like he's about ready to explode.
Well, he stretched very tightly.
It looks like he can't get any fatter.
Well, therein lies the question that I'm going to pose to you. As you age and you just decide to say, F it, and you buy elastic pants and, you know, Velcro shoes and whatnot, is there a limit? You know, like if you just lived the same lifestyle every single year, like nothing changed, do you reach like maximum density or do you just continue to swell?
You know, scientists and doctors would know better. So you're asking the wrong guy.
I mean, can you get...
But I contend that your body can only handle so... Like, Vern can only get so fat. Like, he can't... What do you think he weighs? Probably 310?
Easy, but he's really short.
Like okay, so 290. Whatever. Whatever he weighs...
He's three spins. Easy.
He can't put much more on that.
Well, therein lies... That's kind of was my question.
Or he's going to go down.
For each individual person, do you reach maximum buoyancy where it's like, no. At this point, you're like one of those like clowns that you knock over and it bounces back up. You're shaped like Grimace.
Well, it's like the guy from Monty Python. The big fat guy.
Yeah.
Who just, they keep feeding and feeding and then he bursts. He explodes.
You just go.
Because he had the little dinner mint.
Well, I love
at the end.
I love Vern, though, in his chortle. He was staring at Dottie Pepper like she was a pork chop. Like, Dottie was breaking down the PGA, and I don't feel like Vern heard a word she was saying. He was just staring a hole through her.
I have a buddy who ran into Dottie Pepper once
and
said she parties. Like, she's fun.
I can see that.
Yeah, she's kind of one of the guys.
Can I tell you, when you got a name like Dottie, I feel like you kind of have to party, right? It's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm hanging out with Dottie. Oh,
yeah.
You're going to have a good time.
I'd be disappointed if she didn't.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I guess she's really fun and kind of like Well, I mean, I don't want to throw her under the bus or anything, but I guess she likes to work in the blue.
Oh,
a little bit.
I would, again, all of this, which, I'm just going to assume.
That takes her up a couple pegs.
Yeah, yeah. Dottie can hang. When you've been around the sports world,
yeah.
I feel like if you're, Dottie's been doing this for a long, long time.
And that's what it is.
I feel like you've hung around the bigs, the big leagues for a number of years, for a couple of decades. I feel like you know how to swim in the deep end. There's nothing that you're going to say that's going to shock old Dottie Pepper.
No, and she might drop a dirty joke on you.
Oh, I think Dottie...
And dirty jokes coming from Dottie Pepper are way funnier than, say, a dirty joke from just some guy at the bar.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like more than likely, at some point in the evening, you're just going to be sitting there and Dottie drops a Macho Man elbow from the top rope. Like, that you're not prepared for. You're like, whoa. And then you know what kind of evening it's going to be. And that's when it goes from good to great.
Well, maybe Vern has a chance. I don't know. Things can get a little weird out on PGA Tour.
He's 78. I don't know if Vern is capable of such things anymore. I feel like Vern is...
He certainly has the look in his eye as if he does.
But, you know, like when your dog gets old and your dog's like wants to go outside or wants to play fetch and then you let him outside and the dog makes it about halfway across the yard and then lays down. I feel like that's Vern.
In bed.
Yeah, just in general. I feel like Vern like cuts off the mic and is like, let's go party. And then on the way to the car, he takes a nap. He's like, yeah, maybe I just go back to the hotel.
Hey, I've got an ailment.
You do.
Can I tell you what has... Not ruined my day at all.
Is it derailed you?
I'm having a great day.
Is it your vertigo?
No, I've got a little something going on here, and I want to let you in on it.
Well, we know you've had a little something going on for years, but continue.
So I have a zit in my left nostril.
Oh.
And it's the second time in 2 weeks.
Ouch.
And it's driving me insane. Do you guys ever get these?
I do not envy you, my friend.
Yeah. They're the worst.
The two worst places you can get them, or like inside of the ear canal, or like that inner rim of the nostril. Yeah, I'm with you, and you probably can't really reach it.
It's right there.
Oh, so it's so high up. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I guess you just leave them alone.
Well, have you tried like getting a Q-tip up there or something, pushing on it?
I don't want that up there.
Oh man, you got to try. There's nothing
worse.
What's
that gonna do?
Well, maybe you can pop it.
I don't want to pop it. I just leave it.
Oh, man.
My mom always told me, don't touch them.
Really?
And they'll go away faster.
Oh, no, that's right out. No,
I never popped them.
No, I'll go hunting for that sucker.
And that would hurt because they hurt. Like, it's so sensitive.
Oh, yeah. It feels like it's connected to every nerve in your face.
Yeah.
That's a brutal. I
want to pick my nose, but
you know what? You've got my sympathy. That can ruin an entire day.
I press on.
Yeah.
It's not, this one isn't as bad as the other one. I had one 2 weeks ago that was worse.
Yeah, that's not good.
I don't know why you get these.
Well, you know, it's... You get
Am
them.
I unhealthy?
No. You got something that's clogged up there, and then you get a little follicle or a pore. It could be an ingrown hair. You don't know what you got
going on.
I've
heard only Adonises get these.
Only the man. It's too much testosterone, right?
That would definitely explain it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I think it would.
You ever get one, like, in the middle of your back, and you can't reach it?
And no. And, you know, you said the ear.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had one in my ear.
Oh, dude, I've gotten one in the ear before, and... Oof. It's no bueno. But can your, like, if you get one in I don't know, an area you can't get, does the wife help you at all?
Mm-mm.
No?
I just, like I said, I don't.
Wow.
I ignore them.
I can't. No, I go after it. Like, the first sign, I go hunt that sucker down. I get, like, the Navy SEALs, and we go on a mission. We'll go patrolling. No, we don't screw around with that. Let's get this done. Get a hot needle warmed up, and let's do this.
Man, my plan hurt.
Someone said lay off the blow.
Oh, yeah, that might help.
That's possible. You know, clog some stuff up there.
Hey, so, you know, a lot of sports today. Guys are going low out at the tournament of golf.
Yep. We have some NFL.
A lot. You should see my notes. And this is embarrassing.
A lot of NFL news and notes.
It's just embarrassing because it's the stupid preseason week one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares? Except I got to looking at it. Because, I don't watch it.
Well, I was...
And there's so many things to talk about.
I was trying to watch some of it last night. Most of it wasn't on, right? You had the Seahawks game on. You got the Cleveland game. But most of that stuff wasn't... There was no way to see it.
Sunday Ticket doesn't do anything with preseason games?
I didn't even attempt that. I mean, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah,
I don't know.
The Red Zone channel wasn't on. I know that. And So, I mean, outside of like some highlights and bouncing around. Now, the NFL Network will show all of these games going forward. But last night, it was mostly just kind of highlights, just kind of checking in here or there. But you got to see Seattle and Cleveland.
Hear it, too, because it was on the Fan.
Yes, you could do that as well.
We've got some new developments in the Urban Meyer investigation to discuss with you today. Should we start bombing wildfires and a lot of Friday randoms? That's what I've got planned.
Suddenly a lot to get to. And at some point, we're going to have to discuss what is a good and a bad day in Seattle.
Today?
Well, yesterday.
Felix?
Yeah.
You're talking about Felix?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Carve out some time.
I mean, if you grew up a Mariner fan, I think yesterday was, that might have been a tough day. That was bittersweet. You knew it had to happen, but it was sad. Sad watching Vern get old and his chortle go away, and it's sad watching Felix turn into this version of himself.
All right, so all of that today and so much more. Thank you for being with us. Jeff Rust in for Mike Lynch, who is partying in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we don't know. He's in Las Vegas, but I don't.
Yeah, do you have faith on him to really take advantage of everything?
I was trying to see if I could gauge what Mike was going to be up to, and I don't want to judge, you know, because we don't really know, but it certainly didn't seem
it's gonna
like
be a boring...
Lynch was preparing to do anything particularly cool.
You know, I think his plan of attack, because they're going to be there like a week plus.
Yeah.
I think 10-ish
days. She's at a conference.
Yeah. Yes, and that's a heck of a long time to spend in Vegas. So I think maybe he's just trying to... He knows he's got like 10 days-ish to make it, so I don't think he wants to hit it too hard the first couple of days and make sure that he, you know, survives.
Well, twofold, because that is a valid point. You got to pace yourself. 10 days is a lot. You can
die. Is it really 10 days?
I think he's down there for like a week and a half.
I know he's out all next week, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's down there for a while.
Wow.
So two things. Definitely there's a pacing yourself thing. Two, I think he's scared because they're buying a house. And I think they get the keys when they come back.
Yeah, they signed this morning.
Yeah, they signed. So the keys are coming back. So I think he's nervous about the finances and losing some money. And quite frankly, I think he's a little afraid of the missus. I think there's an element to that, too. While she's down there at the conference, I think he's afraid of having too good a time while she's working.
Yeah, we know who wears the pants in that house.
Oh, without question.
And in that new house.
Yes. She dominates.
And it's not him.
She dominates the dojo. And so I kind of feel like he has to Johnny Cash it a little bit. He's got to walk the line when he's down there and then wait to, because as much as she wants to party, I think he'll party because together they have a good time. But I don't think he can branch off and go solo act.
One of our listeners says Lynch has fanny pack and sandals with socks written all over him. And he kind of does. He kind of does.
Well, we're working on it, though. He got rid of the cargo shorts, and he bought some regular shorts. And I think he moved away from New Balance, and now he just wears old man Nikes. So it's a progress sort of thing happening.
Okay, so I'm going to make a quick prediction, and then we'll get to some sports talk.
This guy says cargo shorts and New Balance kicks. Look out, ladies of Las Vegas. No, I think he's kind of moved on from
he's
that.
He's got some Nikes now
that
he wears.
But they're like Nike Pegasus. They're like coaching shoes, but he's not wearing the New Balance 407s anymore.
Baby steps.
Yes.
Yeah. My prediction is that he will come back sour on Las Vegas. And the reason he will come back sour on Las Vegas is that he is staying there too long. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to be like... You know,
it's too much.
Yeah, he's going to hem and haw about it because that is too long in Vegas. It's hotter than hell.
It's
down
like
there.
Staring at the sun. You can't, you just got to glance up at it and get a brief moment and then you turn away.
2 days, two nights is great. Maybe a third night.
Long weekend.
And that's about it, dude. Yeah. Go hard, come home.
Week long, you're either going to come back miserable or dead
and broke.
Yeah.
All right, it's 3:15 on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, somebody, one of our fine P1s out there is saying that he's on his way to Vegas tonight, and he's going to track that fanny pack wearing Lynch down and get a pic in the wild.
I'm trying to remember where they're staying at the
Cosmo.
That ain't no bird.
So if you're around the Cosmo area and you see Mike Lynch's giant head cruising around.
Beautiful head.
Snap some photos.
Well, it shouldn't be too hard, too, because his head is generally floating about a foot above everybody else.
He does have a giant noggin.
That's
he
true.
He looked like he had six fingers on each hand.
So if we get a photo of Lynch in the wild in Vegas, we'll
post
it on Twitter. So let's overanalyze week one of the NFL preseason, shall we?
Yes, the Seahawks are going to be Super Bowl champs. Baker Mayfield is the greatest quarterback of all time. Saquon Barkley is definitely in the Hall of Fame. I'm trying to think of any other sort of giant snap judgments that we can make.
The Steelers are deflating footballs.
Yeah, we got Deflategate Part 2. The Patriots suck and will not win a game. And by the way, let me just put a little caveat on this in case anyone's wondering what the preseason means. The Cleveland Browns last year in the preseason, undefeated. So
were they?
Yeah. 4-0. Oh.
Well,
and
nobody.
In case you didn't know what happened in the regular season, the Cleveland Browns 0-16.
Nobody runs anything, right? Like they don't.
No.
They're not really playing.
No, everything has to be pretty basic. Like you can try to get stuff out of the first series or two with the starters. But when you get into the backups, this is the problem with it. Even with second team guys, everything has to stay so basic because you get guys that don't really know what they're doing, and receivers are running wrong routes. Offensive linemen aren't able to communicate. Trust me, like we used to call that Thunderdome. Like don't trip over the pig's head in the backfield because it really is quite chaotic. Like you would think that there is this like cohesive group, but it really isn't. Once you get past the starters, it's a pretty hodgepodge, and a lot of those guys aren't going to be playing. I mean, I'm playing in those games, and trust me, I wasn't. Give me a month or two and I would have been home working at Safeway. There just isn't a lot that can be,
you know,
can be taken out of that.
No offense.
Yeah.
But that is a great way to galvanize how crappy preseason football is.
Yes.
You played in those games, much like, that's what I say about high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to take high school prospects and high school football with a grain of salt because I played.
Yeah.
I was on the field in those games.
Yes.
Well, one game.
You were there. You covered a fumble.
I was there.
Yeah.
No, that was eighth grade.
Oh, that's right. That was
you remember.
The Pheasant Bowl.
Yes.
I remember the Pheasant Bowl.
Come on, man.
The legend of.
So anyway, no need to overreact, but let's do it anyway.
Sure. But I think you can look.
Look, man.
Guys that are good
should
be able to stand out in those sorts of situations.
Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Prime example. He's good, dude.
Yeah.
He's going to be good.
Yeah. He's not going to. I don't think he's going to be a terrible bust. I don't know how good he's going to be.
I'm telling you right now, I said it before week one, and now I feel even better about it. That guy is exciting, and he's going to be really good.
Yeah, he escapes the pocket well. I thought he put the ball into a couple tight windows, and that's the game that we were actually able to watch, that in the Seattle game. But I thought he looked good. And again, he's not playing with first-team guys. He's playing behind a hodgepodge offensive line, and I thought he looked comfortable. At no point did he look overwhelmed. And the thing that I was probably most impressed with, it was the windows that he threw the ball into.
Yes. Because great throws,
when you get to this level, everything speeds up and the windows close down and you have to be able to put the ball in good places. And I don't think he made a lot of dumb decisions.
He's legit. He just is. It's only a matter of time, too, that before he starts. Here's my prediction. You were gone when we reviewed Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
My prediction is the Browns will start slow
mm-hmm.
and they will bench Tyrod Taylor and go to Baker Mayfield. And then Hugh Jackson will get fired. And the interim coach, maybe Todd Haley or one of the other assistants.
Probably Todd Haley.
They will win games at the end of the season mm-hmm. under an interim coach and get back to like, I don't know, 7-9. And then they'll hire somebody for next year and watch out. Because Baker Mayfield will probably be the permanent starting quarterback then. He'd have a year under his belt. You finally hire a coach who can galvanize that group because, I mean, hell, it's only been one show.
Mm-hmm.
And that Hard Knocks is showing how soft they are.
Yeah, and
they're a mess.
You can get a sense that they don't have the utmost respect for Hugh Jackson.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what's going to happen with the Browns. You heard it here first. It's a lock. Book it. And then whoever is, I don't know who the next hot coach is out there.
Who's the next Sean McVay?
But, you know, with that Callaway kid at receiver,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Mayfield, like they're, and then if Josh Gordon keeps his nose clean,
the roster has gotten better.
You could get one of those young guys like the Shanahans or the Sean McVays. Get one of those guys in there, and boy, that offense could be really fun.
Well, we'll we'll see. Tyrod Taylor looked good and supposedly has had a nice camp for him. And so he may be able to stave off Baker Mayfield for a while. But you're right. It's only a matter of time before they give him the go-ahead. But you hear from people, and it's tough to know because we've seen one preseason game. It's not like I was watching the all 22 of it. But you hear from a lot of people that are in the know that think that the best roster improvements made from last year to this year are the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, they should win 6-7 games. I don't think they're a playoff team, but Cleveland should be much improved. And they were in some games last year. As bad as that team was, and you don't win a game, you're bad. Cleveland was in games and couldn't close them out. And so with roster improvements, better quarterback play, whether that's Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield, they're going to win games. Again, how many? I don't know. Too early to tell, but they will not be a laughingstock this year.
So Saquon Barkley is going to be dynamite too, but everybody knew that. His very first run with the Giants the entire team only had two runs longer than that all of last year.
Well, and it was a broken play too. The tight end whose name escapes me threw a Nolan Ryan. Like, he whiffed and Barkley made a guy miss and then had the little jump cut there, bounced it to the outside and then ran away from people.
They're going to be fun too when they get Beckham in there.
That's good stuff
with Saquon Barkley.
I think their offensive line is still a bit sketch, but defense was improved last year. And if Eli Manning can be old Eli Manning, yeah, the Giants are going to be good.
What else do we have? Andrew Luck is not dead.
No,
He
made it through and he looked good throwing the ball and played longer than I thought. And supposedly there were no restrictions on him. Didn't look like he was favoring anything. Took a couple licks and ended up being okay. So if you're going to take one thing out of all those preseason games, that may be the number one thing that I take away, is that Andrew Luck was okay. Cause I've been skeptical of it. I mean, that's been 2 years and those shoulders, there's not a lot of guys come back from those. I mean, those are career ending sort of things. Drew Brees did it, but you know, a lot of teams passed on him. I mean, Drew Brees is the exception. A lot of guys never recover from that sort of thing. So to see him go out there and get some work and look good, take a couple hits, throw the ball downfield, look like he still had good velocity on it. I thought that of all the stuff you could see in the preseason, that was probably the biggest revelation and the most positive thing that you saw.
All right. Well, let's get into the Seahawks side of things. Got a couple of young guys jumping out on defense that, it's kind of like, whoa, hey, look at that.
Yeah, a couple, and you need those guys. A couple defensive linemen made some plays.
Yep, so we'll get to that and everything else. Preseason week one next. Here's Rust with SportsCenter.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is us. I'm Isaac. And Big Souk over there.
So indeed.
We're talking about the NFL, believe it or not. Preseason week one. Isn't it weird when you watch football again after having not watched it for a while? You kind of have to get used to, like, wait, is this really happening?
And it's weird with the kickoffs now, not being able to run. And
it just looks weird.
The helmet penalties weren't that bad, although we had our first ejection in the Seahawks game.
Yeah, and it was ironically the kid, because you named your kid Iserman, right? Yeah. That's your son's name. Yeah. The guy who got kicked out was the guy named with the name that you almost named Iserman. Am I wrong?
What was his name? It was the safety for the Colts.
Shamarco. Right? Wasn't it there between Shamarco and Iserman?
It was. It kind of went back and forth.
That's what I thought.
I wanted Shamarco. My wife wanted Iserman. And look, when the wife wants something, you know, she gets it.
Shamarco Thomas. He got ejected in. I went back and watched the play. He's with
he's the Colts. He's the Colts safety. Oh,
Indy, yeah. So the Seahawks receiver dives for the ball, and he kind of comes over from the side, and they're both really low to the ground, almost horizontal, and he just, I don't know, he just leads with his helmet, kind of spear-like, and they kicked him out for that.
Yep.
I don't know.
I guess by the letter of the law, right?
He could have avoided it.
He could have avoided it, but it's going to take a while simply because when you're talking about being low, we all, Everyone always says to get low, you be a knee bender. You can't get that low bending your knees.
Well, he was like, he laid out. He was like diving. So it's hard to put, like, where do you put your, so you're saying he has to, what can he do with his head in that?
You're going to have to like learn to like, when you leap like that, you're going to have to do some sort of weird porpoise move where you like tuck your head and like shoulder roll.
Maybe they should let him do flying karate kicks, like go the other way.
Oh, there you go. Like a baseball slide, right?
Not leading with the helmet.
Just start cleating people. Well, look, it's going to take some adjustments. I thought the first preseason game was rough. I looked at some numbers, and it wasn't like there was this bevy of penalties. So I think it's going to work itself out. Problem is, a lot of players, I do think you're going to see an increase in knee injuries because I think more and more guys are just going to start, you know, going as low as humanly possible. But even in this case, right, like you try to go low, and when you do dive and your head naturally, you're going to lead with it. So it's going to take some adjustment. These guys have 20 plus years of learning one way to do something, and it's a very unnatural thing that they're asking them to do.
So the Seahawks game, who ended up winning? I didn't even see. I think Colts won, right?
19-17, I believe.
There you go.
Colts did win?
Yeah.
The final score of these games means
irrelevant.
Nothing.
Because isn't it like they're all decided in the fourth quarter, aren't they?
Exactly. And I don't watch
and
in the...
Those guys are like third stringers.
Well, I don't watch in the fourth quarter. I just...
Can you imagine betting on preseason football?
No. If you do, you have the world's biggest gambling problem. If you are betting on preseason football... You need help.
You know that
call a helpline.
That reminds me that one of the sort of unique things about last night was because there were 12 preseason games, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
And the Giants played the Browns. There were live wagers placed at MetLife for that game. First time.
Yeah,
ever.
I guess right next to MetLife, they have there's a racetrack, shares a parking lot with it. And, mm-hmm. and
they have a sports book in there.
It's open for action. I think if you go early enough, they'll give you a shuttle ride. You can park there and then they shuttle you over to the football game.
But in the stadium, you could place a wager.
Really?
If you're watching the game. Yeah, because you could just get the mobile app from DraftKings. Like they let you do that on DraftKings. Like, and so.
God help you if you're betting. If you're betting on the Seahawks -6 against the Colts,
well,
the
Browns
preseason.
Were 1-point favorites.
Were they really?
And they covered. They beat them.
Sweating that one out, were you?
So anyway, the Seahawks. Okay, so Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah, we had the Griffin brothers on the field together, which was really cool.
Now Shaquem, am I pronouncing that right?
I believe you're correct.
He's the guy with
They're
the
Shaquille
nub.
And Shaquem. Yeah.
Yeah, Shaq and Shaquem. And he's the guy with the little nubber. He's got no hands. Mm-hmm. No hand.
Yeah. It's
he's got one hand.
He was born with like a deformed hand, and then they ended up amputating it because it was really painful.
Can you believe he made a tackle in the first quarter and lost his other hand?
No, I can't believe that. Is he playing with hooks? He actually looked really good.
Like what are the odds of that?
The guy can play.
He can definitely play.
One preseason game, who knows? But that guy can run, and he was making plays.
So they said that he had four tackles.
We had four
in the first four snaps.
Yeah, he ended up leading the team. Granted, he played a lot, but he had nine tackles, and was making plays all over. And you watch him, and again, caveat preseason, he looked like the fastest player on the defense. Like there was a different gear to where he was running, and that was really impressive.
And if you aren't familiar with him, he led that Central Florida team to that win over, the undefeated season. Then they beat Auburn.
Yep.
So he's a good story, and his brother is Shaq Griffin. And then Barcavius Mingo looked good, and the rookie Rasheem Green.
Yep.
And Jake Martin made some plays. So some new guys on the defense, but they looked, it was one game, but they looked pretty good.
They look good. You know, Green looked like he could be a pass rusher for him. They guess they were pretty high on him in camp, and he showed up. And then the first team offense went right down the field. They only played the one series, but they went right down the field and had a touchdown, and Brandon Marshall looked good. Russell Wilson was moving around. There was a lot to like. Your tight ends. I was watching some of the post game stuff, and they said the tight ends look great. They gave them their MVPs.
I think they should crown them.
Crown their ass.
Seahawks champs.
Yeah. So
yeah.
You know, for a team that
maybe a run game
that people were real soft on coming in, and on paper the roster doesn't look very good. They looked solid.
Yeah, I think they win 7 games.
I think there's a chance of that. Again,
they're going to go 7-9.
I just refuse to buy into the preseason stuff. Talk to me after the third preseason game when they play 3 quarters and we can get an idea. But I even say this about the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. Do not make any judgments until you're at least into week 4 of the NFL season, especially with the way camps are now. You realize for a lot of these teams, that was the first live tackling that some of those guys had seen. It's the first real hit. Now, some of them do joint practice and you do some scrimmage, but there's not a lot of camp anymore. Like they've toned down how long you can go. The 2-a-day nature of it is basically gone. There's so many walkthroughs. And so it's so raw that you go through the first 4 weeks of a season. And in some ways that's another preseason, right? You get the 4 weeks of the preseason and then the first 4 weeks, and then you can start to have an identity. Then you can start to at least have an idea of what you are. But we all want to make these sweeping judgments so early on. And honestly, it's going to be another 8 to 10 weeks before you have any idea what to make of teams in the NFL.
Somebody said Shaquem Griffin looked great. You have to hand it to him.
Someone said he's fast because he doesn't have that extra hand weight.
Yeah, hands are heavy.
It's an advantage.
I don't want him.
I'm impressed at the way he tackles. With wrapping up and the fact that, you know, you're playing with one and
catch the ball too
and shedding blocks. It's one of the damnedest things I've ever seen.
So the key is staying healthy.
Yes.
And one team, man, they had a lot of guys go down last night. The Niners played the Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Redskins.
Well, the Redskins lost Darius Grice, young running back they drafted in the second round. He's out for the year. He tore his ACL last night, but the Niners lost 5 guys.
Yep.
The severity is unknown, but that George Kittle guy, he's their tight end from Iowa that they'd rather pretty high on him. He's going to miss some time. They also lost Malcolm Smith and Solomon Thomas on the defense.
I think Thomas had a concussion. I think I saw him listed as a head injury. So
that's, that's the thing is you want to just come out of these preseason games without any injuries.
No, when you lose 5 guys, and again, we'll see how serious they are, but you lose 5 guys that are starters or projected to be impact players in week 1. Something tells me San Francisco isn't going to be running a lot of contact drills over the next week or so.
What else? We had Sean Mannion playing terrible.
Marcus Mariota played well in his 1 series. They looked good for Tennessee going up and down the field. New England looked horrific.
Did you see Sean? Wait, hold on. You're just glossed right over my Sean Mannion news.
Are we going to talk about him playing terrible?
Did you not see his numbers?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they're saying that the Rams have a real problem at backup quarterback because none of their ones played.
No, they sat out almost everybody.
So Mannion played pretty much the whole first half with the 2s, and he went 3 of 13 for 16 yards and an interception.
Ooh.
And they say that he's been struggling all summer and all camp.
Calling Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
They
don't have a backup to Jared Goff.
Oh, I'm looking here. Brandon Allen, I guess he was their third string guy. He went 10 of 15. Had a touchdown.
There
so
you go.
Golf. I'm trying to figure out who the hell Brandon Allen is. He played at Arkansas third year.
You'd be trying to figure out who Sean Mannion is if you didn't know he played it. I mean, we're from Oregon, so.
Valid point. And, you know, for guys like that, you know, you get and you're in your third, fourth year, it's put up or shut up time. Bad performances like that. I think this is his 4th year, if I'm not mistaken. Unfortunately for him, that sort of performance, if it was bad, and I didn't see it, obviously, but you look at the box score and you're like, that's the sort of thing that can make a roster move and you may not get another opportunity. You get to that 3rd or 4th year, you have to be able to perform or they're going to go find someone younger that they can see if there's a bigger upside. That's not good if he had that, you know, 3 of 13 with a pick. His quarterback rating, by the way, I'm looking here, was 7.5.
Whoa, yeah. Under 10.
Under 10. That's good.
He's venturing into good ERA territory, or at least bad ERA territory.
That's bad ERA territory.
But if he goes down 4 more points, he's in good ERA territory.
Yeah,
that's all
true.
He needs.
Then you're a solid starter, but you got to start ticking that up a little bit.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll check in on the PGA Championship and Felix Hernandez being demoted to the bullpen, but one or two other things here to cover from last night, including the anthem protest and what went on there. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:49, wrapping up, almost an hour of NFL preseason week one talk.
It's only going to get worse. Just the rhetoric and the hype.
Well, I'll continue to not watch.
And I just would encourage everyone to...
Until week one.
Take a deep breath.
No, don't tell me to take a deep breath. Baker Mayfield's going to be the MVP.
Yeah, Colin...
The Seahawks are going to win it all.
Colin was on this morning just going down the line. He's the anti-Baker Mayfield. He was doing the Baker wasn't impressive and...
Oh, I thought he was.
I expect really more impressive out of my number one overall pick. He was doing some hot Baker Mayfield takes.
Ryan Nall, 95 yards, is that right?
Yeah, I think he had like a 60-yard run.
How about that? That guy's looking pretty good.
I believe it was 69 yards.
Ooh, 69!
Hey, Rusty pointed this out. Darren Revelle, you know, that guy's something else. He tweeted this out that a horse named Meet Me for a Smoke won a race today.
Did it?
And the win paid $4.20.
I love that someone had that. Like, Darren Revelle dug that up somewhere?
Revelle's Twitter follow is a great follow and a terrible follow all in one.
Yeah, because at times it's insufferable, but other times you get nice little nuggets.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of interesting stuff on there.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Nall had 9 carries, 95 yards, and yeah, he had a long of 69.
That guy going to play?
I don't know if he's going to play, but I was reading after the... Someone was pointing out that he'd been looking in camp, and they were saying that of the undrafted guys, that he had made an impression in camp. But again, he's not going to carry the football for them. He needs to play on special teams. So again, we'll wait and see. But for an undrafted guy, in order to make the squad as an undrafted guy, you have to do something every day for someone to take notice of you. And it sounds like Nall has done a pretty good job of that in Chicago. And the last, I haven't read the recap, but I want to say 4 or 5 days ago, what I read in Chicago saying that there are people that think he has an opportunity. So he'll at least be a practice squad guy.
So if he makes the squad, does he get paid just league minimum then?
Yeah, you just get league minimum.
Okay.
And more than likely, there's a chance he's a practice squad guy that maybe goes up and down a couple times.
And then what do you get paid when you're on the practice squad?
I think it's been bumped up. I want to say it's like $12,000 week.
What? Oh, okay. A week.
Yeah. Because it's week to week. All this stuff is. None of this stuff's guaranteed. So if you get bumped up to the regular roster, then you make the league minimum for that week, which is 20-something. And then if you're on the practice squad, I think it's somewhere between that 10 to 12 range, if I'm not mistaken. So Nall, it sounds like, well, at least he'll be on a practice squad somewhere, and maybe he ends up making the roster.
Anthem protests. We had a few out there.
I saw a couple in Miami.
Yeah, two Dolphins wide receivers. They knelt. Several guys raised fists during the national anthem.
Someone in Miami did do the fist raise too.
Yeah, Malcolm. Well, a lot of guys did, but Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles raised his fist, and a lot of guys did around the league. But Dwayne Brown of the Seahawks and two other Seahawks stayed in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I know that the Jags had Leonard Fournette and Jalen Ramsey stayed in the locker room. So a lot of guys did it that way. But there really weren't that many guys that even did anything. Guys stayed in the locker room. Some guys raised a fist. And there were a couple of guys who knelt. And, of course, Trump came out and said, you know, what he had to say, which was, I think, find a different way to protest or something.
Yeah, he said, you play a game that everyone enjoys and pays so much money to go see. And then he had the fun line of the players make most of the money anyway, which is not true. They get 48.5% of all income. So that's not true. They don't get the most of the money. But yeah, he said either find a different way to protest or be suspended and don't play.
Well, hopefully that fizzles. And the way it will fizzle is if Trump just if Trump shuts up about it, and then maybe we can stop worrying about that, because it's only a few guys here and there.
And that's kind of my thing about the people.
And look, that's not to diminish what they're protesting about and everything. I'm just saying I think a lot of people have fatigue over this one. And
well, and I don't understand the people that get so bent out of shape and say, I'll never watch the NFL again. You realize that 99% of the players are doing exactly what those angry people want them to do, which is stand on the sidelines, hand over the heart with the anthem. So it's amazing to me that on each sideline here, you know, you've got, well, it's preseason, so you got more, but let's just say in general, right, you got 53 guys and then some staff members across the league. You know, maybe 1% is doing something that's bothering you, and yet you're getting the people that are like, oh, go to hell, I'll never watch it again. It's so strange to me, the anger and the venom that comes out of the people that are pissed about it when it's such a small percentage.
What else do we have? The kickoffs look, I didn't watch much, so I didn't really see, but
it's strange.
Because they can't get a running start, right?
Yeah, it's weird, but you are seeing more of them go out of the back of the end zone. This is going to be a premium put on that. But yeah, it's weird to see the...
Wait, a premium put on going out of the back of the end zone?
Yeah, just kicking it
just
out. Kick it out.
Why? Because you can't cover it as well?
You can't cover it as well. But, you know, the guys being moved up... the return guys have to be moved up closer in order to block, and the team can't run the kicking team. It's a strange. I don't think, and again, we've had a very limited, I've seen parts of three preseason games. So it's not like I've seen a ton of it. It just looks strange, but I haven't seen a giant impact on the games.
Just to be clear, the kicking team can no longer run up to the line of scrimmage.
Yes. You have to be, you're stationary on the line of scrimmage. And then once it's kicked, then you're able to take off.
And then the other team has to be moved up. They're within 10 yards of the kicking team.
Yeah. So they've moved themselves up. So they're not allowed to be way back anymore. And so they're trying to cut down on the run, the running head start, and the violent collisions.
Yeah, because if you're running 30 yards and you meet...
It's why it's the most violent play in football, and it's why so many people got hurt, is you literally had guys with a 30 to 40 yard running start, and then other people bracing for it, and you had train wrecks, and they're trying to eliminate that. They're trying to make it more so kind of in punts, because in the punting game... You don't get those runs. The guys are at the line of scrimmage, and as soon as the ball is kicked, there's a collision there, just like you would on a normal play. And then there's hand fighting and guys running, trying to make blocks, as opposed to the kickoffs where you get the long extended run. So they're just trying to make it more like the punting game.
And no wedge blocks.
Yeah.
All right. And the Steelers deflated footballs, apparently, according to that rat, Howard Eskin. You know that guy in Philly, that old dude?
Yeah.
Covers the Eagles. Or he covers Philly sports. He was on the sideline because the Eagles played the Steelers.
And I guess in the third quarter, someone said that the ball looked like a marshmallow.
That was Howard Eskin.
Yeah.
And so he got it all stirred up. Now the NFL's looking into it.
Do we really think, the best way to put it, that Pittsburgh's plan...
Well, Roethlisberger wasn't even in the game, so it's probably like the third string guy. It's like Landry Jones.
So Landry Jones's plan was to cheat and deflate a football to win... The first preseason game. That was the diabolical plan.
Well, if nobody sees it, then maybe you can, they're like testing.
Dipping a toe in the water. Why is the NFL investigating? Why doesn't the NFL just say, look, one ball, something happened to it. We replaced it. No harm, no foul. Move on. Really have to have an investigation into one football?
Yeah, Howard Eskin said, during Eagles-Steelers preseason game, their T-H-E-I-R, he's gone to the Big Sook School of Grammar, apparently.
Damn right.
Was at least one Pittsburgh football found that was very deflated. The NFL has the football and is investigating. I saw the football after incompletion, and it was like a marshmallow.
Oh, yeah. Wait, wouldn't a marshmallow be overinflated?
Well, I think he just means like squishy, you know?
Oh, okay.
Marshmallows are kind of squishy.
Couldn't just be...
You a marshmallow guy?
No, not particularly. I mean, I guess if you're making s'mores...
Yeah. If there is a bag of marshmallows in your pantry,
no.
Will you just pop a few in your mouth from time to time?
Nope.
I will.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go out on a limb and drop this one on you. I have not had a solo marshmallow 20 years.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
See, we've got the two kids, and the 6-year-old is big on s'mores right now, especially during summertime and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I won't physically go into the cabinet to grab one.
No, but you'll see them in there.
If the bag is sitting on the counter and it's open, I'll grab one and walk by.
That's the thing. That's what marshmallows, nobody ever seeks out marshmallows, but when they're there or you see them in the pan, you know what? I'm going to pop one of those.
I don't like them. It's a filler to the s'more. Even when we make s'mores and we do the fire pit a bunch, I still won't eat a raw marshmallow. The marshmallow has to be toasted, and it needs to be on some graham with some delicious chocolate. And if you want to take your s'more game to the next level, the Hershey bar is right out. You got to go Reese's.
Really?
Yeah.
Going peanut butter in there.
Yeah, you go Reese's peanut butter cup, put that bad boy, then the marshmallow, then the graham, game changer.
See, I'm all about trying new things and being more fat and stuff, but sometimes there's just a certain traditionalism. I have a hard time adding peanut butter to a s'mores.
You add that, and then it gets all melty and squishy.
What
the Reese's, the peanut butter cup. It is so... I'm telling you, Jeff, just humor me. Next time you do s'mores...
We'll give it a shot.
Take one Reese's.
I'll have to convince my six-year-old.
You didn't have to do one of the big ones. You can do one of the mini ones. Put it on there, and I promise you, you'll be like, what the hell was I doing? It's like when the first time you use baby wipes, right? You're like, why am I wiping with Charmin? Like, where has this been my whole life? You're like, this is a game changer.
Yeah, no,
and then I'll be there in spirit saying, I told you so.
I can't agree with you.
Is it weird I go with green peppers on mine? Is that weird?
It's a little strange. A little odd.
By the way, Howard Eskin has tweeted now, the NFL actually looked into the football thing we told you they were investigating.
Yeah.
They have already concluded their investigation. And they determined that there have been defective footballs this preseason.
All right.
And Eskin said, I clearly saw the deflated football, but I now believe it was not intentional and trust the NFL release.
So no 4-game suspensions?
This guy.
But I'd also like to point out, just for anyone that still doesn't realize this, you realize there's no evidence that the footballs in New England were actually deflated.
Wait, what are you talking about?
None.
Let's not bring that back up.
I'm just saying. There's
You're dropping a bomb right before we got to take a break.
There's no evidence that those balls were ever actually deflated, and yet they still suspended him 4 games.
All right. It is 4 o'clock. Coming up next, Felix and the PGA Championship on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.